Well, we're going to continue in this thought of going deeper. And I have been asking questions in these sermons for the past few weeks, and we have another question for you today. The title of our sermon today is, Who Are You Helping? Who are you helping? There's a lovely passage, a beautiful passage found in Mark chapter 2. And that'll be where we'll land today in Mark chapter 2. Again, the question is, who are you helping? And the subtopic is, we're going through the roof. We're going through the roof. All right, so the purpose of life is not for anybody to be happy. And as contradictory as this is to the message as Americans, it's not, life is not meant for us to be happy. The purpose of life is not to be happy, but it is, catches if you will, to be useful. To be useful. There are only so many pairs of shoes one person can buy. There's only so much of anything you can do that's your favorite. Sooner or later, we all have to mature to the place that we recognize that life is not about us being satisfied all the time. There has to be a greater purpose in why God is allowing us to stay alive on this side. And it is for us to be useful for his kingdom's work. It is for us to be useful in being a help to somebody. I'll try it again. Life is not built upon us satisfying our cupboards, making sure we have more than enough, stocking up on toilet tissue and hand sanitizer. But life has to be more about not just satisfying what we need, but are we being useful? Are we being helpful to help somebody else? The question is, again, who are you helping? There's a wonderful story about this man. He was driving his car, a little old Chevrolet, and he was driving his car, and it was a rainy evening, and he saw a lady stranded, and she needed her tire changed. And so he pulled his little Chevrolet up to this pretty Mercedes, and he got out, and he was the woman was needed help, but at the same time, she's like, well, who's this walking up to my car? And so he tried to diffuse the moment and say, ma'am, listen, I'm here to help you. My name is Andre Anderson, and I just want to help. And so she calmed down, and so the man actually crawled up under the car to change the tire. And while he was changing the tire, of course, he got dirty, and he also hurt his hand. And so when he was done, he told her, he said, ma'am, I'm done. And she said, what do I owe you? He said, you don't owe me anything. Only thing I want you to do is the next time you see somebody in need, think of me and help them. The same evening, as she was driving, going to her destination, she was hungry, so she stopped at a little diner. Place looked kind of dingy, but she was so hungry, she went on in there anyway. And when she walked in, she saw this woman she looked to be at least 8 months pregnant. And she was wiping her hair with her towel, and she had such a pretty face and such a sweet disposition. She came and greeted the lady and helped the lady get her food and all that. And so when it was all said and done, the little waitress brought her ticket to the table, and the lady took out a $100 bill to pay for the bill. But when the waitress came back to bring her change, the lady was gone. But she wrote on the napkin, you don't know me, but I am passing on the help that was given to me. All I want you to do is help somebody else the next time you can. Up under the napkin was four more $100 bills. Can you imagine this young lady? She went home. She was excited. She left work early. She went home. She wanted to tell her husband, tell her family, listen, y'all, the Lord has answered our prayers. She walked in the house. She grabbed her husband. She whispered in his ear. She said, "Bae, I know you've been worried and praying, but the Lord has heard our cry. I love you for the man you are, Andre Anderson." Part of our victory in helping is knowing that God being our provider, provision is in us helping somebody else. If we are not, we have to be careful that we don't get so tied in making sure that we have enough, that we're not willing to look out for somebody else, because when we help somebody else, help comes back to us. So I have to ask the question again, who are you helping? We've got to be thinking about more than just my four and no more. Who are we helping. Turn with me again to Mark chapter 2. And in Mark chapter 2, we come across Jesus going back into his native land of Capernaum. And the people in Capernaum know him, they know his message, so they were excited to see him coming. So excited that when they heard that he was in this particular home, that there was a crowd of people that gathered around because they wanted to hear Jesus preach. How many of us know that Jesus still calls a crowd? When the gospel is preached, the gospel calls is for men and women, boys and girls, to come and hear. They may like not, just like in this text, may not all come with the right motives, but the gospel calls. It's a beacon for humanity to want to hear more about the truth about life. And here in Mark chapter 2, the house was crowded, so crowded that people were inside filled to the brim, outside filled to the brim. There had to be a line and a crowd even outside, because we'll see that those that were trying to get into Jesus could not get in because of the crowd. In this particular day of Jesus' day, a house, even if it was a larger common house, the capacity may have been 50 people, and that was everybody standing. So imagine this house being crowded. It's a dusty ground, so there's none of these amenities we have now, no lights and ceiling fans and carpet and all that kind of stuff. They were just in there. They had the motive of wanting to encounter Jesus, so they pressed themselves into a small room because they needed to hear a word from God. How anxious are we to hear God's word? And I know some of us are not that anxious. I know you are because you're online this morning. But some folks are not that anxious because we have God's word on our phones. We don't look at it. We're not that anxious. We have some of, today you can go and be a part of 15 different worship services, but some of us won't do anything. Not you, because you're on right now, but other folks. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. How anxious. The crowd was there to hear Jesus. Let's read it. Let's read it and make sure we're not making up nothing. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there, was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. I didn't make it up. That's what he did, right? He preached the word. And the scripture goes on to say, some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the man. The paralyzed man was on the mat. The paralyzed man was laying on. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Just a couple of things I want to lift up to you in this text today. The first thing is, if we're going to help, here it is, we must be determined to help. We've got to be determined to help. There has to be a moment, something within us, that encourages, that will be a boost, that pushes us to be determined to do something to help somebody else. Now listen, you all, there are multiple people in this particular scene. You have Jesus, you have the crowd, you have some keepers of the law, and you have these four friends. Now let's deal with these four friends first. If you're really going to be a friend is somebody that will do all they can to see that I get my needs met. So you ask yourself real quick, am I a good friend? Because we don't need friends right now that'll run as soon as drama and calamity happens. We need friends that are going to stick with us and that are determined to get us where we need to be. The scripture does not tell us that this lame man said anything about getting to Jesus. So we can't add anything to the text. The scripture doesn't say anything about this lame man encouraging the four friends, y'all come on, think of something else. It doesn't say, he's silent. This is the work of his four friends. You need some friends around you that when you cannot encourage yourself, they are there, their voices, their arms are there to help you and support you to get you where you cannot even get yourself. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? You need somebody that has what you don't have to help you get what you need to get. We're trying to hang around. Everybody has the same thing we have. Everybody has the same thing. No. I need some folks that are stronger in some other areas to help me where I'm weak. I don't have to be strong in every area, but if you're strong in it, I'm strong in it. This paralyzed man, he was a paralytic, meaning that he was paralyzed. We don't know how the depth of his of being paralyzed, but we do know he couldn't walk. That if he couldn't walk, he couldn't crawl to drag his legs. So probably from they're saying that from the neck down, this man could not move his body. So he needed somebody that could do what he could not do. Can I stop here and just remind us, parenthetic, that we have God, we have Jesus Christ that could do what we could not do for ourselves? That Christ became sin for us, died upon the cross for us, rose from the dead for us because we couldn't do it for ourselves. This man is paralyzed and he needs some help, and he has the help of some determined friends. Y'all, these men were focused because the goal was not to get the paralyzed man to the house. The goal was to get him to Jesus. I'll say it again. The goal was not to get him to the house. The goal was to get him to Jesus. Some of us are satisfied by inviting people to church. Well, that cannot be the goal of our evangelism. The goal of your evangelism is not to get people to church. The goal of evangelism is to get people to Jesus. This is the problem with the 21st century church. We feel good because the building is filled with people. But there's no power in the building because we want people to come and see a space and not for God to inhabit the place. It's about not getting people to a building, but getting them to Jesus. How are you helping people get to Jesus? What is your work ethic like on the job? So that when you invite them to church, their expressions won't be, oh, you go to church? How do you act at the cleaners? Because they always messing up your order. What is your response like? It's not the fact of getting them to a building. It's the fact of getting them to Jesus. Is that making sense for us? Send some emoji praise across the screen. Is that making sense for us? Because what we have to do is we have to have friends that are determined, because life is filled with setbacks. Everybody say setbacks. Life is filled with setbacks. But when you have friends, people in your lives that are determined to get you where you need to be beyond the setbacks, then you're already in a better place than most. A setback is an action of interruption in progress. So some of us, we cannot say, well, Mac, the reason why I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with, because it's a setback. No, you got to be in progress or something to be a setback. You got to be moving forward. If you're not progressing somewhere, Corona is not your setback. I'll say it again. If you're not in the process of God's work, Corona is not your setback. You have to be in the process. If you have not been walking by faith, because the virus is here, you cannot claim the virus as your setback. You are your own setback. You've got to have people in your life that will help you push yourself beyond these temporary obstacles. Get this, y'all. Can you imagine that one of the fellas said, listen, y'all, I don't see what we can do. But you know what? Let's take him up to the roof. Some of us have been like, man, y'all, we did all we could, y'all. Let's just go to Luba's. Let's just grab something to eat. You know, we tried, y'all. A for effort. And we giving everybody high fives and all that. I seen you $5 cash out for some gas. We did it, y'all. We did all we could. No. These friends didn't say, well, we done. No, at least one of them said, let's take him to the roof. Now imagine, you all, not only do they have to, were they trying to work through a crowd, now they have to get him up on a roof. The angle of getting him up on the roof, on the mat, and then they got to figure out how to get him down on the floor. And then for them to estimate the space just right, that when they got him down, he was right in front of Jesus. They were determined. In that day, the roofs were, it was a layered roof of heavy branches and some thick mud. And they were layered, heavy branches, mud, branches, mud, branches, mud. So think about these men having to dig a hole large enough through an impacted mud-based roof to get this man to Jesus. Yo, this just didn't happen in 15 minutes. This wasn't an hour-long deal. This was a day's work effort for them because they were determined. How determined are you to help somebody? Listen, I know we're in this season of COVID-19 and we got to look out for ourselves, and I'm cool. I understand that. You got to make sure you got enough toilet tissue at home. I'm with you on that. I'm good. But we've been dealing with this for a little over a month now. So by now, our concern has got to move from just on us. Because there are some people that would love to trade places with you, that would love to live in your shoes, that we're not even concerned about. We've got to move beyond being useful for ourselves and being useful for everybody else, those that need the help. You can't help everybody, but you already help somebody. And I know you say, well, Mac, I don't have that much. Well, the little bit you do have, that's why Paul says for us at the beginning of the week, set aside what you're going to do as your offering to the Lord, and then whatever you have left, pay your bills, and you got to have something in that budget to help somebody. All right, now I'll say it again. You got to use your setbacks as an opportunity to push forward. Throughout the Bible, think about Joseph. Here Joseph is as a complete setback from the very beginning. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. But his setback became a comeback opportunity because in Genesis 50 and 20, what does it say? You may have meant it for my bad, but God meant it for my good. Think about Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Here he is tossing up wheat in a wine press. Yet God calls him to be a mighty warrior. It seemed like he was in a setback moment, but God had a different plan for his life. God has the power to use whatever your setback may be to catapult you to where he wants you to be. Now, if you don't believe that, you need to pray within your heart that God will galvanize your heart to be focused on him. Because even for all of our graduating seniors and those that should have these memorable moments in 2020, God is going to use this. You have been progressing. You've done the work throughout your academic school year. So you just wasn't sitting around waiting on something to happen to mess up everything. God is going to use this as a catapult you towards the future. He takes setbacks and turns them into comebacks. Somebody ought to give God thanks that we look back over the history of your life and all the moments where it seemed like life was falling out from beneath you. God was able to use that. Paul says, all things still work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I don't care what it is in your life. God has the power to give you the comeback you have to have, although you're in the face of a setback. The goal was not to get him to the house. The goal was to get him to Jesus. Being determined says that not only do I have a determined to see a plan, but I've got to be determined to put some actions behind the plan. The text says that they decided to dig a hole in the roof. Listen, if you're really going to help some people, it's not going to be a pretty camera moment every time. You've got to be willing to get your hands and your knees dirty. Because of our media influence, we want to capture every moment. And people are always capturing the pretty moments. But they don't capture the moments when you're trying to help somebody and they're biting at you. They won't help, but they don't want it from you. They don't capture those moments. When you're trying to help somebody and they're cursing you out, they don't capture those moments. They don't capture the moments that you have to get dirty with them to provide the help they need. We have to be willing to get our hands dirty. This has been a beautiful season for some of us because you couldn't go get your nails done. So now you don't have an excuse. That rabbit has got these things dipped. Now you don't have an excuse. They ain't been dipped in a while. Dip them in some dirt and help somebody. All right. They decided to dig him away to Jesus. Listen, y'all, they dug the hole just perfect at the right angle because where they laid him, Jesus was there. Here's the second thing I want to put on your mind. So the first thing, jot it down in your notes, that we must be determined to help. Second thing is this. We must not diminish the help. We got to be determined to help. And then we must not diminish that. Verses 6 through 8 says this. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus in his spirit, he knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? So not only were there these four friends in this situation, you also have the crowd. And in the midst of the crowd, you have these onlookers with negative motives. Again, everybody wants to hear a good sermon. So not just the saints come, but a lot of folks come to hear the preaching. And in the midst of this crowd, these onlookers, these were the keepers of the law, and Jesus, being all-knowing, heard the words of their hearts, and he speaks to the words from their heart. Isn't this good about God? That Christ knows our motives, and you don't even have to say it out loud. Sometimes I look at my kids, and I know what they're saying because the way their eyes are looking. God knows. When I have to hold somebody accountable, I can tell they want me to shut up. I can see the way they're holding their hands. I turn their lip up. I know they want me to be quiet. Isn't that what God is that kind of way. He knows what you're thinking. Grandmama said, he knows what you're thinking. He knows what's going on in your heart. And God, Christ addresses this. Look at this. He said, they're saying that he's blaspheming. And Jesus says, why are you saying these things? We have to be careful, everybody. There must be a concern with us about the crowds that we hang with. You have to be careful about crowds. You got to be careful about crowds, because if it is that it has been said, looking through some of the Harvard Post, that a calm crowd is actually worse than a riotous crowd, because a calm crowd moves in a fluid motion. And a calm crowd, when they're impacted together, can actually suffocate a person's lungs. And some of us think that we're doing okay because we're not around those loud crowds. Everybody loud, all that kind of stuff, you know. At least with somebody loud, you know where they are, you know where they stand. It's that calm crowd that's harboring thoughts in their hearts that, if you're not careful, will suffocate the life out of you. You got to be careful of the crowds, everybody. I keep telling Mackenzie, get ready to go to school. You got to be careful of the crowds. Men and women, boys and girls alike, no matter what area of influence, you got to be careful of the crowds. Because although the crowd is quiet, the quiet crowd is a deadly crowd. At least I know where the foolish people are, because the foolish people are going to talk. But some folks harbor some stuff in their hearts. I don't know exactly where they stand. But the spirit inside of Christ knew that they were talking some ignorant talk. And Jesus holds them accountable to their words. Jot down Proverbs 16:2. Solomon writes this encouraging his sons. He says, all a person weighs seems pure to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Yeah. Very interesting. And you know what Jeremiah 17 says? The heart is deceitful above all things, beyond cure. Who can understand it? The writer of Hebrews says this, I love this. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Y'all, you got to watch out for the crowd. These keepers of the law were not there to experience Jesus. They just wanted to see something. You got to watch out, folks, in your life that just want to see stuff. They're not helping the situation in any shape, form, or fashion. They just want to see something. And then if they don't see what they want to see, or if they have a problem with what they see, then they want to pop their jaws, do a whole lot of talking. You got to be careful, everybody. And then when they talk, they don't talk out loud to try to help in good conversation. They're just talking in their hearts. And then they walk out and have another meeting. You got to watch those second meetings after the meeting. Jesus' spirit knew that they were talking. You got to watch not only these crowds, you got to watch the negative spirits of people. Why do we as believers feel like if we're the saving grace in some people's lives? And so we hang around negative thinking people. As if to say, well, Mac, if, you know, if I'm not there, they won't have anybody to talk to. I need to be there. They need Jesus, Tink Tink. They don't need you. We should not be trying to invite them to know who we are. We should be inviting them to know who Jesus is. This paralyzed man did not just need to be in the crowd. He needed to be in the presence of Jesus, not just in the house. 1 John 4:1 says this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Your spirit life has got to be so strong that you know the intent and the motives, the words behind the words that people are uttering. Your spirit has got to be alive. You've got to know who to hang around or who not to hang around. You've got to know they have some ulterior motives. So if your goal is to get to Christ, you cannot get to Christ with all these crowds. All these crowds that want to find fault in everything. All these crowds. You can say, man, the sun is such a beautiful day. I don't know, a year ago. Man, when you bring up a year ago, today it's a pretty day outside. Always negative. Just negative about stuff. You got to move away from those crowds. Because see, it was not only a building that was preventing them to get to Jesus. It was a crowd that was in the way. And some of us have some people in the way. I just want to encourage you today that in order for you to help some people, you got to move beyond the crowd. You got to put them in your rearview mirror and see the need in front of you and do all that you can to supply that need. Who are you helping? I pray that I say this so many times that you remember this in your sleep tonight, that you've got to find somebody that you can help. We have a Zoom call today with one church at 1 o'clock. And that's one of the things we'll be talking about, making sure we're helping somebody. There's somebody around you that needs some support. Yes, they may be driving a nice car, but that doesn't mean you don't know what's going on in their house. This corona is affecting everybody in all kinds of situations. People have lost jobs. People do not have an opportunity to get another job. You don't know what's going on. But we have to not look at the superficial, but to allow the Spirit of the Lord to tell us, this person needs some help. And as you're giving them a can of whatever, giving them a ham, whatever, you make sure you tell them about Jesus Christ. Because more than they need some food, they need the word of God. All right, all right, all right, all right. Finally, look at verse number 9. Verse number 9 through 12. The conversation goes on. Jesus says, which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take up your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to them, I tell you, he said to the man, get up, take your mat, go home. Verse 12, he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. We have never seen anything like this. Finally, write this down if you will, that Jesus is the dominant help. Jesus is the dominant help. He is dominance. Jesus is the authority. Yeah, yeah. Jesus is supremacy. He is it. For the help that this paralyzed man needed, for the revelation that these keepers of the law needed, for what we need in our lives today, it's only through Jesus Christ. Now this brings up the argument with a whole lot of people because they question, say, well, no, Jesus was just another good prophet. No, he wasn't. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the dominant way. This brings up some interesting thoughts, everybody. So here Jesus says, he throws a question back to the keepers of the law. He said, now which one is better? Is it better for me to heal him or to save him? What do you prefer? Do you prefer that I save him, forgive his sins? Or do you prefer that I heal him? I mean, which one will satisfy you and your smart self? Which one makes the best sense to you? I'm going to come on, tell me. You want me to save him or do you want me to heal him? Which one? So look. So, and then he says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man, verse number 10, has authority on earth to forgive sins. So, y'all, the big issue with the keepers of the law, the Pharisees and Jesus, is they kept crying out that he was blasphemous because he was saying that he could forgive sins. Now, the truth is, if he was lying, then he would be sinning. But he wasn't lying. And that's what they did not want to adhere to. They did not want to receive the fact that Jesus was just as much God as he is man, just as much man as he is God. The hypostatic union, that he and the Father are one. They questioned that, and because they couldn't get over that question, they kept missing these beautiful supernatural moments. Yeah, yeah. Can I challenge some of us? Some of us are missing some moments too, because we're having a hard time getting over some things that we will understand. And because we can't understand it with our simple peanut mind brain, we won't trust God all the way. There are some things that are just not understandable. And we will understand them. The old church says, better by and by. Some things won't be revealed to us until we see God. But my faith in him cannot be questioned. My faith in him is not up for your target practice. I believe in God. I believe in Christ, in Christ alone. I believe in the scriptures alone. I believe in faith alone. Our faith has to be firm and founded in God. All right. I'm just saying, if he's not the authority in your world, no wonder you look like the way you're looking. No wonder the church, people around the world still building buildings, and we can't even build a barbecue pit. Because we don't have faith in God. We want everything to make sense. Everything's got to be understandable to my little peon brain. No, if that was the case, we wouldn't do a doggone thing. Our faith has to be in God and what God has said, not in our circumstances or what we understand. Jesus is the authority. Look at Jesus. Yeah, listen, y'all, Jesus, he's some kind of fella, I tell you, Jesus knows how to cut you. You don't even know you're bleeding until 2 weeks down, 2 weeks later on. I mean, you don't even know that he done put you in your place until you're like, what did he just say that to me? It's a week later. Man, where this blood trail coming from? Jesus, look at what Jesus said. Authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, since y'all got it, you got all this talking, but I asked you a question, you don't have an answer. This is what I'm going to do. So he said to the man, I tell you what, get up. Since these players over here running, popping their jaws and got all these negative stuff to say, I'm going to tell you what, you know what I'm going to do? You know what? So y'all listen. Picture this. You have the Pharisees, these keepers of the law on one side, and you have the paralyzed man, his friends, on the other side. And here Jesus is being the wonderful speaker. He's talking to these keepers of the law. He said, what do you think is best? Should I heal him or should I forgive him? Okay. You know what? Get up. Just get up. Yeah. I'm done talking with y'all. I see right now this is food. Get up. Take up your mat and go on home. Now, can you imagine these keepers of the law looking like, oh? You know, I'm done talking with y'all. Young man, get up. Bless your heart. Get your man. Y'all move out of the way. Let him go on home. You see, had I walked in, I would say, man, listen, let me help you up, y'all. Forget y'all. I'm going to help you up. I would have to go over there and help him. I'd have to go over there and roll up his mat for him. And I say, man, listen, bro, you walk. I got your shoulder. I'll carry your mat. No. Listen, when authority speaks, you do not need the help of humanity to do you anything that the supernatural voice of God has told you to do. And when authority speaks, authority say, listen, friends, I need y'all to help him get up. I need y'all to help him pack his stuff. I need y'all to get him home. No. Jesus said, you can do this all by yourself. So what he could not do for himself, he cannot do for himself because authority has said, get it done. And some of us are still waiting on other folks to co-sign what God has already said. We're still looking for people to come pat us on our back so you can do it. No. I thank you for your support. I thank you for help. Listen, God told me to do this. And if you never say anything else to support me, I'm all right with it. I may have some moments, but listen, I will always have his word to fall back on, that he told me to get up. He told me to grab my mat. He told me to go home. You didn't die for me. You didn't save me, but authority told me I could do it. And because authority spoke it, this man's bones, that before he saw Christ, could not move them on his own. But in the authority of God's word, his bones got some strength. In the authority of God's voice, his bones got stronger all of a sudden. Milk does the body good. How about the voice of God does the body good? So the voice of God spoke, and these bones were no longer brittle, and they formed together strong enough. This man got up. Listen, the challenge for some of us today is that we've heard God clearly tell us to do some things, and it all begins with us getting up. If you don't get up, you're saying, God, your word is not strong enough because I'm satisfied with my butt down. God is telling all of us to get up. Listen, the picture of this man being paralyzed is the picture of sin. Because sin paralyzes. Sin will make you think that because of what I could not do in the past, I can't do it now or the future. Sin will convince you that you're the only one and you got to have everybody else there to help you because you can't help yourself. Sin will make you think that authority has no power in your life. But when authority comes up against sin, who you think wins? I'll try it again. When authority speaks against sin, who do you think wins? Authority wins. Sin is defeated because of the authority of Jesus Christ. Come on, if you believe that, send some emoji praise across the screen that the authority has spoken, so I am no longer caught in depression of the past. I'm no longer caught in anxiety of the future. I believe that my God is a present help right now, and because authority has spoken, I'm already walking in my victory. So Jesus told the man, he said, get up. As you are looking and allowing the Spirit of the Lord to lead you to who to help, you got to tell them that, listen, I'm going to help you, but I'm not all that you need. You need Jesus Christ. And the first thing that I know Christ would want you to know is that you've got to get up from this place. I understand the jobs are low and you may not be able to do what you want to do, but in the spirit realm, you still have energy. In praying, developing a prayer life, in supporting other people, you can still do something, but you got to get up first. He told him to get up, then he told him to take up his mat. Listen, the mat represents this man's life. Because that's probably all that he had was a mat. The mat was his bedroom. So wherever he was left for the evening or the day, they would roll out his mat, and that's where he would stay. So this mat represents all that he has. It represents everything. So God says, listen, take up all that you have, and I want you to go. See, the problem with some of us in taking up all that we have is that we have acquired too much stuff, and it takes us too long to get it all wrapped up. We can't move with a sense of urgency and quickness because we got too much stuff. Well, let me see, Lord, let me call. Can y'all put all this in this account? And we got $5 over here, $15 over there, got about $35 over there. We got to make some calls. Can we just? We got too much busyness we got to do, so we can't move with a sense of urgency, a sense of obedience, because we got too much stuff to get together. We've got to live in this place, my friends, where we are prepared to walk in obedience to whatever God says for us to do. All this man had was a mat, because that's all he could handle. I dare not suggest some of us have picked up some stuff we can't even handle. So when it's time to move, we can't move because we got some stuff we can't handle sitting down, let alone handle it standing up. All right. He told him to get up, get your mat. Y'all know what he told him to do. Last night he told him, he said, go home. Jesus tells this man to go home. I believe that Christ knows, just like we know, the greatness of our testimony is heard at its best when we go back home. There's something that happens when we go home, because those folks at home, they know the whole story. They've seen us persevere. They've seen us try to triumph on our own. They've seen us in our drought and our need of help. And so for this man to come home walking, carrying his mat, gave him the opportunity to speak to everybody else. Say, listen, y'all, let me tell you what Jesus did. Our hometown boy came home, and he did what he always does. He healed me. Wow. We can't be so quick to, when the Lord does something, we're going to run and tell people we don't know. How about tell those that you do know? Because they know how thrown off you were before then. So they'll be the first one to say, well, he is talking a little different. Maybe it worked. Maybe it took this time. You know, I know he's been saved 5 times before. Maybe this one actually worked this time. I don't know. Go home. Let your kin people, let your family and your friends see what God has done. Imagine this man going home. I'm done, but the text closed out just saying, verse 12, that the people, the witnesses said, they began praising God. And they say, we have never seen anything like this before. Yes, yes. Wow. Jesus' authority speaks. And Jesus tells this man to get up, go home, get your mat and go home. And to see this man walking on his own. You got to remember before, he needed the help of 4 people, right? It was a crowd. He had to get laid down over the roof. But now he goes home on his own. This is the picture of salvation. That once we have given all of our lives completely to Christ, Christ works a wonderful miracle within us, and now we can go home to be the voice, the influence, the testimony to those at home. And those that see the transformation, their lives are changed forever too. So you have these 4 friends. You've got the crowd. You've got these keepers of the law. And now you have those that witness Jesus and this paralyzed man. I believe that some conversations you have to have them in the presence of witnesses. Because if a conversation goes awry, it can't just be your word against somebody else's word. You got to protect yourself. Everybody say protect yourself. You got to protect yourself. And the other side of this is that witnesses will take the good news of what happened further than you did. So these witnesses are now all testifying. Listen, y'all, we have never seen anything like this before. I can only imagine the people in your life that knew you 5, 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, some of y'all old enough, about 30 years ago, and the way you used to talk and your behaviors and demeanors. You did all you wanted to do. You treated life like Bluebell ice cream. You eat all you can and you save the rest. You just did everything you wanted to do. And so now for you to be healed and you sound like a sane person, you're walking like a sane person, your behavior is like a sane person, the witnesses around you are saying, wow, I never thought this would be possible. For Will to be talking like this, for McKenzie to be talking like this, for Tay to be talking, I never thought, man, these folks right here were thrown off. Look at the miracle. Look at the power of the authority of God's voice, the power of the authority of God's word, that when he speaks, everybody will give praise for what he has done. Listen, as we go home today, the challenge is for us to find somebody that we can be determined to help, that we will not allow the help to be diminished because people always have something to say. We will allow the power of the dominant voice of Christ to lead us and we'll be God's agent to be the change in somebody's life. And the only reason why this is possible is because what Christ did in this paralyzed man's life, he's done in our paralyzed lives too. Because we also were paralyzed with sin. We also were seeking deep beneath sin and the capacity that God had for our lives. But one day God came in our lives and something supernatural happened. One day I heard my grandmama say, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. Yeah, yeah. I looked at my feet and they did too. I started to walk and I had a brand new walk. I started talking and my rhetoric was different. I had a brand new talk. Something happens when authority sets in the room. Can I challenge us today to make sure that we keep the authority alive in our hearts? that we have to keep God's word active, that we're reading it every day, we're praying through it every day, keep the voice of authority alive in our voice, in our hearts. We talked last week about the sheep knowing the shepherd. You got to know what God is saying, because God knows you by name and he calls you. And when he calls, we will answer. Who are you helping? We have been given help by the power of God, that he is a very present help in our time of troubles. So we don't have to look for help from somebody else, from some kind of weird source. We have supernatural help. And this help comes from God, whom is the sustainer of all mankind. So as you're looking for somebody to help, know that you have help along the way. Christ promised in his word that he was going to leave us a helper. This helper is going to help us. And Jesus writes in John, says it, Jesus says in John 14, that the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. He is a confident keeper. He's our help. You have help in this season of corona. You do not have to give in to any of the forces. Stop listening to silly people and their silly antidotes. You have help because of Jesus Christ. Am I by myself this morning? Anybody know that Christ is your help? That all that you need and you have, it has already been provided through Jesus Christ. And so just as this paralyzed man needed to be healed, God has healed us too. Send some emoji praise across the screen and thank God for saving your soul. Send some emoji praise across the screen and tell God, thank you for healing me. We are no longer the same, all because Jesus, authority, has spoken. And when God has spoken, there is nothing else we can do but let the church say amen.